It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Suk right over there.
Right here.
Sada.
We were talking about community meetings, and I was asked on the Vancouver Ford text line that... because I said I would never attend a community meeting, and I stand by that. Mm-hmm. And someone asked, "You wouldn't attend a town hall meeting if it were to eliminate loud mufflers forever?" And the answer is no.
Yeah,
because
it's the right answer.
This is exactly what I'm saying. So that is something that I'm very passionate about. I think loud muffler guy is obnoxious.
It is part of your platform, yes.
And even that can't make me interested.
Well, I just think it's really, especially at 6 in the morning, like you're a effing loser. Like it is so freaking obnoxious and they have no regard for waking up other people or just being loud. It just drives me effing insane.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
I would not go to the meeting unless you told me I was one of 5 decision makers or 7 decision makers.
Sure.
Now, you get north of that. The more people you add, this is why I'm not going. Because you just get louder and dumber people,
yeah,
and nothing gets done or your voice gets lost. And that's, I just don't have, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah,
right.
Makes sense.
I mean, Buckley was talking about his wife going to that speed cushion meeting.
Or leading the meeting, as I like to think, but
as you like to think.
And yeah. What did she say? She said it's insane.
She said it was like an episode out of Parks and Recreation.
Yes. Yeah.
And the people who are like against it, the reasons for it are like, well, how do we know it's even going to work? Well, because we've tested it in other neighborhoods and we know it does. They're like these ridiculous pushbacks.
Well, they
that
have
don't...
these bad ideas.
Yeah.
Or they have narrow views of everything.
And they're very just... concerned with like the stake as it pertains to them specifically and
exactly.
Not the neighborhood as a whole. And yeah.
And they put up roadblocks. They have dumb ideas, and it just becomes an eye roll, and it becomes a Parks and Rec episode. And I have better things to do.
I'm with you.
Even if it's for loud muffler.
Wait, what things do you have to do?
Well, I mean,
anything is more important than that.
But if you told me I'm a key decision maker, you better believe I'm showing up with my agenda.
Yeah, if like you're like a city council thing and they're like, Rob, you're the tie-breaking vote.
I'm taking those guys down.
Your councilman jam.
All right, coming up.
He's been jammed.
Coming up here this hour, we'll get back to our Wednesday Waldorf. And a Kirby Smart Dan Lanning exercise. Was looking at some similarities between those two guys today. Tonight in the club, we have Animal Uprising news. Mm-hmm. And if you share misinformation, knowingly or unknowingly, you might be crazy.
Oh, okay.
A new study.
Oh, I have an update, by the way, in the sign-off in my neighborhood.
Yeah, Trump versus Kamala.
Another salvo has been fired. I love it.
Yeah, flags!
Oh, it's so good. I'm waiting, although someone may end up getting murdered down there, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I saw that coming.
So that's Club 6 and 7 right now, the Hot 5 at 5, 12.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victoricos.com.
I have concepts of a plan.
Number five.
By the way, someone just forwarded me a study. I just looked it up from Car and Driver magazine. Mm-hmm. I will be presenting you the findings later. Hopefully, we can get to it today. But it studies loud exhaust guy, and I can't wait to present it to you.
How do you feel about motorcycles? Is it in the same?
Well, again,
is it in the same vein?
Yes. It's just all so unnecessarily loud. Yes. It's obnoxious. Well, it doesn't need to be that loud.
What if it gives you some more horsey power?
I want a bunch of gypsies. By the way, did you know that one horse does not equal one horsepower? I found that
what
out like a week ago. My mind blown.
It had to have been at one point, right? No?
Don't even know. My whole world torn asunder. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Hot 5 and 5.
Yeah, Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert is out tomorrow against the Bills. He has a chest injury suffered in week one. It's not just a calf for Niner star Christian McCaffrey. He's also dealing with Achilles tendonitis. So he's reportedly a long shot for this week's game in Minnesota.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. So whenever you hear the Achilles tendonitis, you think of, well, snapped Achilles.
I think of the Kevin Durant finals against the Raptors.
Richard Sherman, all that. So, dude, if you're a Niner fan or a fantasy football owner, your pucker factor is quite high. And let's be honest, you didn't need him week one.
Well, the Mets have the toughest remaining schedule of any team in baseball. But they don't care.
No. We're just out here getting it done.
They began the day tied with Atlanta for that third wild card spot in the National League. And boy, did they have a nice win. They were being no-hit by some bro from the Blue Jays named Francis. But they explode for six runs in the ninth and win in Toronto 6-2.
Diaz shuts the door and are now a half game up on the Bravos.
I mean, come on.
Look, I'm not counting any of my chickens before they're hatched, but look, let's just say this. Mets are going to the postseason. It's a team of destiny at this point.
They have
let's
a little
go.
Magic, I will say.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun just to be in the conversation.
The Braves are currently losing to the Nationals 4-1. That is in the bottom of the sixth.
Suck it, Braves. It would be double sweet to get into the postseason and eliminate the Braves at the same time. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
The Rams lose two starters on their offensive line. They're already without Puka Nacua.
Yep.
Both of these guys are going to be out at least 4 weeks. Left guard Steve Avila and left tackle Joe Noteboom.
And they've already down their other starting tackle. They're actually on their third tackle at this point. I mean,
there's always one team.
It's all kinds
that
of
just gets hammered early in the season with injuries, and they just can't recover. It blows up their season. I mean, this Ryan Buckley, you know this. The Niners had this 1 year. Shanahan quarterback went down, and all hell broke loose, and sucked.
And also keep in mind too, I was going through some of the advanced analytics that people were putting out, and the best way to say this: the Rams under Sean McVay have never been able to overcome a bad O-line. Like, their success is directly tied to the block, run or pass block success rate.
Like, his scheme can be as great as you want, but they don't have that.
Yeah, like, Shanahan's are like McDonald's. It's fun because they all come from the same tree, but Miami and San Francisco, believe it or not, they excel at hiding bad O-lines. Sean McVay does not. So this could be problematic for the Rams because this is probably right now the most injured group of any position in the NFL, and it's not getting better anytime soon.
Shohei Ohtani is trying to become Major League Baseball's first ever 50-50 man. He begins the evening with 46 home runs and 47 steals with 17 games remaining. The Dodgers taking on the Cubs later. Mariners missed a golden opportunity to gain on the Astros last night, but they ended up losing. It'll be Brian Wu tonight against the Padres. That AL East race is pretty tight. The Yankees currently losing to my Royals on 9-11. In the fifth, 1-0.
You gonna be a jerk and spoil that on 9/11?
I'm certainly hoping so. That's why I wear my Royals hat today.
I just watched him play Sook's favorite highlight of all time. W throwing out the first pitch.
So good.
The O's are tied in Boston right now, 1-1 in the bottom of the fourth. I believe at the start of the night, I think the Yankees are up a game on the...
That was a game and a half.
Oh, no, it's only a half game.
Half a game?
Yeah. Tight race. Everything else is four games or more.
Does Ohtani, by the way, does he already have two MVPs or does he just have the one? Let's do it.
I think just one.
Okay. Right? I was going to say, is he winning another one this year?
Number one. My number
one fan. Is he already? Is he already going to have three?
Number one.
Double check that for you. No, you're right. He has two. So Rookie of the Year and two MVPs.
So he's already going to, I mean, he's not, no one's catching him. So he's going to have three MVPs in however many seasons he's been here.
Looks like that will be the case. And he'll have three MVPs in five seasons. Well, not five seasons total, but yeah, the last five seasons. And then, oh, by the way, next year he's going to pitch and win a Cy Young.
And probably the MVP yet again. Turns out he's good at baseball.
Oregon State has lost starting left tackle Tyler Volton. He announced that he is done for the season with an ACL injury suffered last week against San Diego State. It's a big blow. He's one of the Beavers' highest graded offensive linemen thus far. Big guy, 6'4", 365. Oregon, just one win in Corvallis since 2014. The kickoff here on The Fan Saturday, 12:30.
Yeah, he's actually their right guard, but yeah.
Oh, what did I say?
You said right tackle.
I thought he was left guard.
No.
I had written down left guard.
Well, he's their guard. He said tackle. But yeah, it's a big blow because if you're Oregon State, I mean, obviously that's what you're going to try to do is just be physical and run the ball on him. And you look at the way Boise State ran the ball on him, you thought maybe you'd have some success, and it's still the plan. It's just that one because they're going to the Gonzalez, who's a redshirt freshman. They think he's a veteran guy that can step in, but it's just a hard guy to replace having a big grading Mahler in there, especially because Oregon's D line is so big and physical. So that's a tough blow for what Oregon State wants to do in the Civil War.
Hot 5 and 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. A Kirby Smart Dan Lanning exercise next on The Fan. Well, I don't know what it is about 9/11, but the Mets and Yankees can hit on 9/11 because the Yankees, the Mets were almost no hit,
yeah,
but ended up winning. The Yankees only just now got their second hit against the Royals in the fifth inning, and he got thrown out
of trying to push it to a double.
So perhaps the Yankees will come back and beat the Royals in Mets fashion. Nah, a little bit later.
I doubt it. I mean, the Mets have a flair for the dramatic.
So we've got the Waldorf coming up. We're going to get back to the Waldorf. We have the fresh First Coast fired. Oh, damn it. Almost got through it. We have the fresh first coach fired odds.
There you go.
Those have been updated.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Buck is bad at golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a hot blonde out there catching strays.
So I was sitting there thinking about Dan Lanning today,
mm-hmm,
sitting on my couch this morning while it was raining.
Just pondering some Dan Lanning.
Drinking coffee.
That's disturbing, but all right.
Well, it's my job. I have to think of sports topics. And one of them was, I was sitting there going, you know, I asked myself the question. I said, I wonder what the similarities are to Kirby Smart. Because in their career ascension, because Kirby did not come in right away. He's always been good at Georgia, but he did not come in right away and be this.
Yeah.
It took him some time.
Sure.
So I had to go back, and I did a little, and there's nothing earth-shattering here, but I did want to go back and look at how long it took Kirby Smart to go from really, really good, which that's where Oregon is.
Sure.
To this good, where they're winning championships.
Because am I wrong in that Kirby had 1 year and then kind of the ascension? Now, he didn't get over the hump, but I thought he just had the one so-so year and then...
So I'll throw out some... Here's what it looks like.
Okay.
This is why we like to do what we do. We like to research these kinds of things.
Sure.
So I was looking at... Georgia, the season before Kirby Smart got there, they were 10-3.
And that was Mark Richt, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The season before Lanning got here, the Ducks, 10-3.
Sure.
So both guys, former defensive coordinators, who just got promoted.
Yeah. One at Bama, one at Georgia, so similar, you know, powerhouse programs.
Kirby Smart, age 39 and 40, his first two seasons, he goes 8-5 and then 13-2.
Okay.
Lanning, age 37 and 38, his first two seasons, goes 10-3, 12-2.
Okay.
Very similar.
Sure.
So now we look at that third season, because obviously this is incomplete. This is where Dan Lanning sits right now.
Yeah.
Because what I'm trying to show here is not that Dan Lanning is Kirby Smart. and will be Kirby Smart. What I'm trying to show is something quite obvious, and that is that it's not a straight line ascension to greatness. You have to learn what it takes to have a special season. It's just not that easy.
Yeah, because I do remember the one mediocre year and then the ascension, but there was a, again, I don't have it in front of me. They didn't win a national title for a while. What was it, like maybe five, okay. 6 years in?
So Kirby Smart's third season, mm-hmm. much like Oregon. So far, pretty damn similar.
Sure.
So the third season at Georgia, much like Oregon, they were top five in the preseason. They opened at number three. Ironically, that's exactly where Oregon has opened this year. They opened the season at Vanderbilt, and they won the game 31-6. I went back, and I read the game recap, and the first thing Kirby Smart said was something Dan Lanning said after the Idaho game, and it is, we have a lot of room for improvement. Mm. Okay, so they had 10 penalties in that game, 117 yards. They had no pass game to speak of. They do go on to win the next five, including a win over Notre Dame, but then they got upset at home as 24-point favorites against South Carolina in week six.
Okay.
Jake Fromm threw four, he didn't throw four turnovers. I think he, or four picks. He threw three interceptions and fumbled once. He had four total turnovers. Their only other loss that year was they got blown out by Burrow and LSU.
Yeah.
And that team was blowing everyone out. So that Kirby Smart team, that third season, stumbled a little bit early, but was 6-0 or 5-0 going into South Carolina, and they blew it. They went on to win the Sugar Bowl against Baylor, had a nice season. They were 12-2. Sure. Okay, so if Oregon does that this year, something mm-hmm. similar to that,
yeah.
that's an excellent season. But the way we've been talking about Oregon and the way preseason rankings make you feel about a team is that will be a disappointment.
Yeah, and the difference is that season being 12-2 with Kirby, you end up in the playoff. And so it's interesting is that now, you know,
they would have ended up.
And this Oregon team, like if they end up, let's say they lose to Ohio State and they lose to, I don't know, Wisconsin or something, right? And they still end up in the playoff, under a normal circumstance, just losing to Ohio State and Wisconsin, people would be like, well, what the hell? That'd be a total bummer of a year, even though you win 10 games, right? You go 10-2, but you won't win the Big Ten, and people would be bummed out. But this year, you go 10-2, and you lose to Wisconsin and Ohio State, you still end up in the playoff. It's like you get another chance at redemption. So it's we're in weird, uncharted territories where a lot of these so-called disappointing seasons that, like, you know, they're at Georgia with Kirby, they're not going to be viewed that way because you're going to get an opportunity then to.
But if they don't win it.
Yeah, then.
It's the same thing. Look, I think the point here is that having watched Oregon for 2 weeks, it's okay if this isn't the big season.
Sure.
Right? And it's starting to look like that. Like, yes. I mean, come on. We talked about the offensive line, and you were saying this is not just going to magically go away.
Yeah.
And so, look, the South Carolina game, however that manifests itself for Oregon this year, it's coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's important, I think, to reiterate that there are always going to be surprises along the way. You don't just go straight line to the top.
Yeah.
Struggling against Idaho was a surprise.
Yeah.
Struggling against Boise State was a surprise. But what you do is you learn and you grow from that experience. And Dan Lanning talks about this all the time. So you have to experience the anatomy of an upset to avoid future upsets. Well, Georgia did that. Now, after that third season, they had a very nice season, but very disappointing because they were preseason top five. That the next year for Kirby was the COVID year.
Yeah.
They went 8-2, but COVID year was weird. After that, since that, they have dominated college football. I mean, absolutely dominated.
Two national championships and should have played for another one last year.
Yes. But, I mean, I think he's only lost two games since COVID. I'm not kidding.
And yeah, that's
so. So the ascension from that point. So he took.
And they're
his
both
lumps.
To Alabama. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I don't think he's lost to anybody since. But Alabama.
That may be
right. He lost to him. I think didn't he lose to him in a national championship game? Did they play? And then was that the Tua game? Right. The
national. Yeah, that's correct.
The national championship
Where
game.
They benched Hurts.
And then then last year in the.
Look, again, nothing earth-shattering there, but and I'm not even saying Lanning is the next Kirby Smart. There are a lot of similarities in what they're doing, but I just think if Oregon doesn't complete its mission this season, just know that Lanning and company are just getting started a la Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Lanning and his staff and the things that Lanning says is he appears to be the type that never stops learning and growing.
Yeah.
He doesn't point fingers. That's a recipe for future success, right? Yeah. So if you want this to be a special season, it's go time, right? The three of your next five are on the road. One of them is at home against number three Ohio State. Like, it, you can't dilly-dally anymore.
Yeah.
But even if they fall short, they have their South Carolina, or it's worse than that. Like, some people are texting in saying that, hell, the way they've looked, they may lose three games this year.
Yeah.
Maybe. They might.
Yeah.
Kirby lost two his third year.
And people will come out of the woodwork, yes, and say that Lanning's all talk,
exactly,
and that there's nothing there,
they
and
will
it's
say
all hype.
They will say all sizzle, no steak. And all of that is fine to say. It's what people say until you win.
Yeah.
But I just think they're on a really, really good trajectory, and we shouldn't put so much into one season, because you're setting yourself, it's just not that easy. You're setting yourself up for failure.
That is a really good point. And someone on the Vancouver Ford text line says, you know, Georgia, they looked it up, said Georgia finished 2-7-4-7
before winning
the national title. And right, he says, if Oregon had done that, and this is true, Beaver and Husky fans would, and a lot of the national media would absolutely bury them, saying that they're choke artists, that they can't get over the hump,
can't finish
all, yeah, that, and
that's right,
and it's true. It's the narrative is so funky, and I also want to see what happens, because like I said, with the playoff now, I want to see if making the playoff shuts people up, or if now making the playoff for these teams is considered, well, who gives a rip? Cool, you made the playoff, go win a title. You want a playoff game? I don't care. Did you win three? You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that narrative works, because in normal years, 10-2 was a disappointment and you didn't get a shot at a national title. 10-2 now gets you into the playoff. So if you go 10-2 but lose in the first round, is that a failure? If you go 10-2 and win a game or two, is that a failure? It's like, we're going to find out how fan bases and the national media recalibrates our idea of success.
All right, let's get back to our Waldorf salad. The first coach fired odds have been updated, and I believe we have a new leader in the clubhouse for first coach fired.
I'm intrigued.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Is it?
Yeah. Who you got?
I'm trying to think. Well, yeah. Never mind.
Hello.
Yeah, I was like, wait. Oh,
hello.
Nope. I got
hello.
It. Yep. I think he's a good coach.
Wait, we talking about the same coach?
I think so.
You first.
Talking Brian Daboll?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a good coach.
I thought we were talking college. I wasn't paying attention. like Mike Norvell.
God. All right. No, we'll get to that next in our Wednesday Waldorf. It continues. Here is Buck with SportsCenter.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bottom line, they're at.
Yeah, I did not specify it was NFL first coach fired odds. So those of you thinking it was college, I get you.
I thought you were talking the NFL.
Yeah, I know you did, but Buck didn't.
Yeah,
and there was also a listener who thought we were talking about college. So I did not specify. I was talking about NFL.
And it took me a second, and I was like, oh, yeah, Daboll. And
He's the new favorite to be the first head coach fired.
I think he's a good coach. I just think he's been handed crap. And, you know, it's the coach isn't the one picking the roster, and I think he got saddled with Daniel Jones, and I just think it's getting worse and worse. But I mean, I thought he showed early on what he could do with a very limited offense. And I just think the front office has failed him. So I think that that's a guy that when he gets fired, and he will get fired because the Giants are a disaster. And I don't write anyone off after week one, but I'm writing off the Giants and I'm writing off the Panthers. They're just bad football teams. They just are. And they're not going to win a lot of games. And Dable's going to get fired after this year. I would give him another crack. And it may take him a while. He'll go back to being an OC. But again, I think he's a solid guy that's going to get a bum run here because he got tied to Daniel Jones.
So the preseason favorite, first coach fired in the NFL was Dennis Allen of the Saints.
Well, and they got Kubiak's kids, their new OC. And again, I don't know what to make of it. One, it's 1 week, and please stop making a big deal out of 1 week. And they played the Carolina Panthers, which again, they're so void of talent, but the Saints offense looked great. Their defense is good. So if the new coordinator can kind of unlock some stuff there in New Orleans, they may be a bit of a surprise. Carr is not a bad quarterback. Like everyone thought New Orleans was going to be this dog mess team. This is not a horrid roster. They may surprise some people.
Yeah. I don't have much faith in Dennis Allen.
I can't say that I do either, but...
And by the way, he's second. He's still second on the list.
Yeah.
He's 4-1.
They play in a very winnable division. The Falcons looked terrible. The Carolina Panthers are terrible. The Bucs are good, but again, none of those teams are necessarily juggernauts. I'm just saying, every year there's a surprise team. New Orleans may be that surprise team. We'll see how this plays out.
So, Mike McCarthy has dropped... He was third, mm-hmm. McCarthy. He's down to 12-1. Third now is Robert Saleh at 9-1, and that's not a bad bet.
Yeah,
because the Jets, if they struggle, they're going to panic.
Sure,
and somebody's going to have to take the fall because they have Rodgers. They have to make this. Oh, damn it!
What?
Oh, Juan Soto just went. I think he hit it out of the stadium.
Did seem to go when I turned. It did seem to still be going a long way.
It's still going.
Yeah. Well. Turns out that Juan Soto guy, good at hitting a baseball.
So then it's Stefanski 10-1, Doug Peterson 11-1, and Antonio Pierce 12-1.
Hmm.
If we're looking for value on the board, I go down to Nick Sirianni at 25-1.
Yeah, there's maybe some value there, although, and it's week one. Philly looked good. There was some sketchy decisions early on by Jalen Hurts, but that roster is so talented and Kellen Moore, their new OC, and it looked good. Barkley was a huge success there, and it looked like maybe a lot of the offense that we were wondering what happened last year was back. So I get that there's value there in Sirianni, because remember early on in the game it felt like maybe there was some bitching and moaning going on there, but they put it together. Pierce isn't a bad one, except that the Raiders are so cheap they don't want to buy him out. Did you see his decision to punt the ball? That's the dumbest. You should get fired for that alone.
I wasn't watching the game, but I think it came across my timeline, and it was fourth.
It's fourth and one.
Fourth and one.
Yes, but he said it was a long one.
And they were down. They were in Chargers territory.
46-ish, 45, something like that.
And they were down 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, about 6-7 minutes to play, something like that.
And he punted.
He punted. And after the game, he said at that point, my defense was playing pretty good. And someone brought up that it was a yard, and he said, yeah, but it was a long yard. And by the way, they immediately gave up like a 60-yard run to Dobbins, and then the Chargers scored and the game was over. I've never seen anything like it. I mean,
that's Mike Tomlin level.
It is. Even Mike Tomlin was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? It's fourth and one.
Who they have running the football?
In plus territory.
In Vegas now.
They got the White, Zamir White.
Why'd they get rid of Jacobs?
And then they didn't want to pay him. And then who's the other guy from Minnesota that kind of flamed out?
Madison? What's his nuts?
Matt's.
Alexander Madison?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's there's their two guys. Still, I just, like, Antonio Pierce, the Raiders suck. They do. And Gardner Minshew, it's that whole thing is a disaster there in the Raiders. They're not going to be very good. They're just not.
Joe Buck is bad at golf. And he explains.
Ask his wife.
He put his wife in the hospital.
Yeah.
He explains that next on The Fan. All right, finally today, before we get to the club. Didn't know Joe Buck's wife was a reporter for ESPN. Did you know that?
I can't say that I did.
Her name is Michelle Beisner Buck.
Yeah.
and I don't recognize her, but she's been a reporter at ESPN since 2014, apparently. Yeah. She works on Monday Night Countdown. At any rate, Joe Buck hit her with a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And here is him. The backstory on this is that Adam Schefter put it out today as like big breaking news that he put his wife in the hospital and hit her in the ankle.
Yeah.
With his drive.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily think that would send you to the hospital, but you know.
Well, I think it shattered her ankle.
Hey, man, you got to rub some dirt
on
that.
He explains it.
Yeah, they got a cast and everything.
So here's what he said about it.
The date, July 7. The location, Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I was getting ready for the American Century Championship in Tahoe, and Michelle and I, with our kids taken care of, thought we'd go play a few holes and have some fun.
We did.
Yeah, and we got to 10. And I said, why don't I hit a couple of drives off 10 and then we'll go get something to eat. Well, 10 is a little left to right hole. And Michelle has been known to do headstands during the course of our courtship and marriage. And even prior to even Joey arriving on the scene. And so she did a headstand at the end of the tee box for good luck out into my left. And at the exact moment that I was teeing off, she decided with her feet in the air to do the splits, thereby dropping her right leg a little bit to the side, right in my line of fire, and I hit a golf ball, tailor-made with little designs on it, into the inside of her right ankle and shattered it.
Shattered.
So that's why.
Freak accident.
Wow.
Total freak accident. Couldn't, it's like...
If you were having a competition, you would never, ever be able to do it. This was like God or the universe just directed this ball right into my ankle bone.
So then they go on to say, they're in the parking lot at the surgery center, by the way, because they explain the injury was so bad that it messed up one of the nerves in her feet, and it's causing issues going up her leg. Mm. So she's there to get the tibial nerve decompressed. And then after all the medical jargon, Joe finishes up with this.
Needless to say, my guilt is off the charts. I wake up still in the middle of the night hearing that sound, and it makes me sick.
Sound.
It was a bad sound.
Anyone has seen the movie Misery?
Okay.
Go check it out.
All right. We're wrapping this up. I will just say that I love this woman. All I do is want to protect this woman, and I hurt her with a golf ball.
Not his fault.
Yeah.
Freak accident.
It's pretty sick, and I feel terrible. But say a prayer. It's already happened, if you're seeing this, for the nerve surgery. Okay?
Here we go. LFG. Let's do it.
Wow. Can you imagine how much that hurt?
Yeah. Right? Anything off your ankle.
Anything. Much less a... Like, she was right on the tee box. He drove that thing right into her bone.
Can I bring something up, though?
The headstand thing?
The gymnastics?
Well, first off, she's an ex-Bronco cheerleader.
She is.
So, I get it. Like, maybe you're doing some sort of weird sex game thing here, but first off, really, you're on a golf course and you decide to do a handstand. First off, don't. Second, why are you standing like anywhere in front of a golfer teeing off?
Yeah.
That alone is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Like, I mean, it's not to the same extent, but it's like when you're shooting guns, you don't go in front of the person that has a gun. If you're teeing off, if someone's teeing off, unless your husband's Tiger Woods, dude, I would, like, you're a three. You're a really good golfer. And guess where I would not stand when you're teeing off? On the tee box in front of you.
Well, they were probably drunk, first of all.
And then she just, even worse, and then you decide not only are you doing a handstand to distract the man with the driver in his hands, now you decide to do the splits. Maybe you're trying to show off a little bit of the old coot-coot or something. I don't know. But that whole thing, I'm sorry, I think that's on her. I think that broken ankle is her fault, not Joe Buck's.
You know, it's funny. I was just playing golf last weekend at Langdon Farms.
Yeah.
And there was a girl, seemingly a hot, in the group in front of us, who was doing that very thing.
Really?
That is a thing.
A headstand?
Yeah, she was just, the whole time she was doing like, I mean, she was playing golf, but towards the end you could tell she was not playing golf. She was just hanging out on her phone in the cart or something.
Yeah.
It was like a family of four, and she was the daughter, and she was, for much of the round, I'd look up there, and she'd be over on the side doing like handstands and and flips and crap.
Well,
so I think it's a thing for women on golf courses because they're bored.
I'll tell you right now, If you're in front of the tee box.
Or men.
Yeah, anyone. If you're in front of the tee box and you get hit with a golf ball, whether you're doing a handstand or not, your fault. If you're on the tee box, at least if I'm on my feet, and maybe, just maybe, like there's no reaction time, but maybe I could dodge it or at least try to like crouch down. You don't have that reaction time when you're in a handstand. That's your own fault. I don't feel one bit bad that you got your ankle shattered because you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And that is a stupid game. That's a stupid game.
Trailer hitch to the middle of the shin.
Oh, it's terrible.
Or a golf ball off of Joe Buck's driver 10 feet away.
Unfortunately, I think you got to take the trailer hitch.
You think that's better than the golf ball? Yeah, because she shattered her
ankle.
God, have you ever been hit by a golf ball?
Not hard. I've taken one in the back.
Me too.
But
it didn't hurt.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think it's all about where.
Back there, though.
Yeah. This if you took one off the back of the dome, you took one off the elbow, shin, something. That's different. But like, yeah, I took one in the back, and it was whatever.
I've hit the inside of my ankle with my iron on accident once, and that really hurts. Like if you're like trying to knock your cleat, like sand off your shoes or whatever.
I mean, the trailer hitch, it sucks and it's painful, but you're walking. It's a whole other thing. Dude, that thing's coming off the face of that thing, what, 100 plus miles an hour?
Yeah, it's nasty.
That's no good.
That is
Which
nasty.
Is why, once again, you don't stand in front of the tee box.
Well, she wasn't standing, to be fair.
Look, it's another case of a hot thinking she can do whatever she wants to do, and these hots have to learn.
Coming down
also
on the
get
hots.
The power snatch.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. She was probably out there wearing something skimpy, showing off the goods. These hots think they can do whatever they want. Well, here's the thing. When you're a hot, you're distracting people. And when someone has a golf club in their hand and you're in front of them, you want that person. You can't focus if there's a hot dude. Think about that. You've got like a 5'11 blonde smoke show doing a handstand, probably some skin hanging out there. And then she randomly decides to, quote, do the splits. I know what's going on there. I know what she's showing off. You can't be expected to keep like mental focus during that. That's a guaranteed shank every time.
Maybe that would make the live tour a little better.
I would maybe tune in for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, if you really
crank it up.
if you wanted to see how focused someone was, line the gallery with hots doing handstands.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine Joe Buck, that guilt is quite heavy.
Yeah, he's got to flip that guilt back on her. It's his only choice.
Well, that's what you would do.
That's what I would do.
We're clearly finding out.
But I would 100% be like, yeah,
I think most normal men would feel terrible.
Nah, but like I'd feel bad for a moment, and then the first time she threw it in my face, then I'd have to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. We're taking this back.
All right, we've got animal uprising news. Otter gangs.
Yeah, I'm on the side of the otters.
That's coming up next on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.